This is PJ Kroll from San Francisco, hanging out with Tom Rhodes, a fire-breathing dragon, a wizard of great power in the world of comedy, the fucking king of international jokes, Tom Rhodes. Karate kick, baby!
Beautiful.
That one wasn't that good, man. That was he's like beautiful.
That was great.
That was perfect. Tommy's like beautiful. Take three.
I thought it was perfect.
Man, I thought that was perfect too.
Now I'm getting a little bit nervous in my voice.
Welcome to Tom Rhodes Radio. I'm very happy to tell you that very soon, hopefully by the time you hear this, TomRhodesRadio.com will be up and live. And it's a way I want all my listeners to get involved on the podcast, ask me questions, make comments. I'd love to have you involved, love to answer your questions, and I'd love to hear from you. It's going to be great. TomRhodesRadio.com. I've been lucky enough to perform in Asia a lot in my career. And a few months ago, I performed all over Asia, and the tour started in Seoul, Korea. I did this show at the Rocky Mountain Tavern, which is on the third floor of this building. And just below it, on the second floor, is like a sports pub kind of place. And I was on stage, I did maybe an hour and 20 minutes, an hour and a half, something like that. And about every 2-3 minutes while I was on stage, downstairs, the place held probably 75, 80 people, but they would all erupt in a cheer, just, yeah! And it kept going on and on, these people screaming, yeah! Every couple of minutes, I was like, maybe we should turn on a television. I honestly think we're missing out on some great news, like maybe they found that Malaysia plane that went missing. I mean, what could make these people cheer like that? AIDS was cured today. Yeah! They figured out what Stonehenge means. It's a time machine, and we can all travel back in time and talk to our dead relatives now. Yeah! The Pope has decided to sell all of the Catholic Church's property, and everyone on the planet gets $1 million. Yeah! After my show, I went downstairs and found out that they were having a beer pong tournament. I thought AIDS had been cured, but a ping pong ball had gone into a glass of beer. Today's episode was recorded in Seoul, Korea. On the rooftop, the Hanging Gardens of Fabulon, as he likes to call them. Today's guest is Nevada Rhodes. I know so many beautiful, wonderful people around the earth, and I met Nevada Rhodes. First of all, best last name ever. He's gay, he's tall, he's blonde, he's muscular, he's fabulous. The guy, he's a stand-up comedian. I met him over there. First time I was there, loved him to death, and I enjoy the man's company. He's just a bright ball of sunshine. He is the star of a very long-running Korean television show called Strange TV Surprise, which is a really odd, bizarre television program that he will tell you about. He teaches musicals to children, Korean children. He feels more free in Korea as a gay man than he ever felt in the United States. I think he's a fascinating human being. I love him to death, and he's a very special human being that I'm very proud to present to you now, the one and only Nevada Rhodes. And we are rolling. We're on the roof of your Itaewon apartment in Seoul, Korea.
This is Hanamdong. Itaewon is like down there. Uh-huh. Hanamdong is the nicer area.
Okay.
And only Hanamdong or any nicer area other than Itaewon can be the home of the Hanging Gardens of Fabulon.
You call it the Hanging Gardens of Fabulon. I love that.
It's all of the above.
And you got plants everywhere. I met you, I was here, a year and a half ago. It was October, and it was raining when we were up here, but we had a great party.
Yeah.
You had a little barbecue.
That was fun.
And you said I needed to come back in summer when your plants were in bloom.
And
so now it's late May, and it's a little garden up here.
Yep.
So my first question to you, Nevada Rhodes, best last name ever. Would you say that you are perhaps the gayest man on the planet?
I don't know. I'm good with tools. And I'm not talking about the tools that I keep in my third drawer down. That's a whole other story there.
Have you known anyone that was gayer?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, I think it's...
I'm fabulous. I live with it.
And you do it. You do it proudly and beautifully. I'm proud that we have the same last name. Because you know you're like a tall, you know, muscular man with blonde hair.
I've got lots of muscles underneath all this fat, I'm sure, because it takes muscle to carry all this. But I do wish I weren't such a fat ass. Oh, can I say that on
here? You can say whatever you want on here. But I mean, you know, wow, you are you must be worshipped as a god in Korea. Why did you choose to live in Korea? Did you live in anywhere else? Because you grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay, here's the whole other story here.
Let's hear it.
I served a mission with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Is that what brought you to Asia?
Here in Korea.
Wow.
A while back ago. And
you discovered a stronger faith.
Feeling much better now.
your love of...
I'm free. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
Your love of Asian men became your new mission.
That was an issue. When I first... I wasn't interested at first, okay? That was a major issue in my decision to move to Korea. I was not interested in Asian men. I was not interested, and because the fact of the matter is, I like small Hispanic butts, and I cannot lie. Okay, but
that's a hit song really waiting to be penned right there.
I really like the Cubanos, and I miss them so much. In Las Vegas, there was a wonderful Latin community, and it's just wonderful. My best friend in high school was a Korean, and he probably still is, a very religious guy, and that was my only real, before serving a mission, that was the only example I had of how wonderful Koreans are.
How old were you when you came over on that mission?
I was a few years younger than I am now.
So did you grew up a Mormon in Las Vegas?
No, I was a convert. I converted, frankly, and I can say this now, I converted because the missionaries were so fucking cute. They were a little bit older than me.
With their khaki pants and the white shirt.
They were a little bit older than me. And
riding
they were
their
just,
bikes.
They were adorable.
Those toned buttocks.
Riding their bikes
around.
I'm with you. True story.
So, were you religious growing up in Las Vegas?
I personally tried to be. My family, there's all sorts of faiths, and distant family as well. And so I went to many different churches, and every last one of them told me, in a roundabout way, not me directly, but you know what I'm talking about. They told me that I'm evil, I'm wrong, I'm going to hell, and you know, that could kind of hurt a young guy's feelings.
That could influence a fragile young
years mind. And yeah. Years and years of that.
So did they know you were gay from like instant childhood? I mean, was there like a curbing? You know, we got to get this guy into weight training and football.
Well, all of my brothers in my family were all real tough guys, construction workers. My dad was a construction worker. And, as far as did they know, she's...
I mean, from like an early age.
Yeah, well,
obviously,
when I came,
you get, you know, you're a teenager. People are like displaying the traits of their life already, what they're going to be mostly.
I fought it for years and years and years and years. And since I actually understood... that, I really like looking at guys' butts and connecting that to, does that mean I'm gay? Okay, I remember the day I was 15 and I started bawling my eyes out because I realized, oh shit, gay, that's what this is, that's what I am. But when I finally came out to my sister, I was 20, I remember this day vividly as well. Oh, jeez, I almost gave out my age. Okay.
We can edit out anything.
Okay, cool. Well, anyway,
any slips of the tongue of your age?
There was a certain song that was...
That made you realize you were gay?
No. That was playing when I came out to my sister.
Oh.
And...
What's the song?
Well, it was a little older song then, so it wasn't when it right came out. And I said right came out. It was Right Said Fred.
I'm too sexy.
Yeah. Yes. And that was playing when I was in my sister's truck. I came out to her, and her reaction was there was a slight pause, and then she said, "It's about time."
Yeah, wow.
And she said, "We knew ever since you were a little kid." And I'm like, "Well, fucking hey, you could have told me. I could have avoided so much freaking pain and torment." Oh my God! I don't want to relive this right now. But I moved to Korea and.
But so, how old were you when you came out?
I was 20. I came out to my sister.
Wow, that's pretty late. That's a lot of years to be carrying around.
I was 19 when I came out to myself.
Hmm.
Yeah, when I recognized, okay, this is it, let's see.
And what wasted means. Years, because you grew up in Las Vegas. I couldn't think of a better city to be gay in than Las Vegas.
Oh, I still got to do the coke. Don't I'm not putting that aside. I still got all that. Right in the back of a DeLorean and do coke. It was wonderful. Okay.
Great. Now, let's back up, because... your last name is Rhodes, and if I remember correctly, you know, you're from Las Vegas, so your father named you Nevada, and you have another brother, or your sister's named Colorado?
Oh, I have a sister named Colorado. I'm number 10. Named,
so wherever your father squirted his seed, he named a child after it.
Well,
and as someone with the last name Rhodes, I think that's brilliant. Because, you know, if I got someone pregnant here, they'd be Soul Rhodes. You know, I have gone to the island of Rhodes, and I swam naked the length of Rhodes Harbor and back where the Colossus of Rhodes once stood. I think I told you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just in case it would give me superpowers.
Yeah.
You know, because I love my last name so much. And I think anything goes good with, put an Asian name, an Arabic name in front of Rhodes. It works.
I like the Soul Rhodes idea, though. You know, there's a lot of, in America, there's a lot of African-American people with the last name Rhodes. That would be a really cool name.
So,
Soul Rhodes, I think I could name one of my ducks.
Do you have other brothers?
Oh, yeah.
What are their names?
I'm number 10 out of 14 kids. And Colorado, number one.
Saskatchewan Rhodes, New Jersey Rhodes.
No, all the rest have, excuse my language, normal names. I don't like that word.
Chuck, Bob, Butch.
Except for Leela. Leela is a beautiful woman with a beautiful name.
Leela Rhodes. Leela. Told you. Yeah. Everything works with Rhodes.
And the rest are. Well, I have two big brothers named Mike. I have one big brother named Mike. One younger brother named Mike, rather. Shonda and Brandy and Jared and Mike and Mike and Bill and Regina and Mary and Leela and Colorado.
Jesus.
And Ebby.
Didn't your parents ever read?
Did I get everybody? Oh, well, there was just no home entertainment system, I guess.
couldn't they afford cable
and
television?
Don't get married when you're 16.
Wow, a lot of kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So, so now when you went on this mission...
They got married when they were 16, for goodness sakes. That's just... What? Okay, I'm sorry.
And they were from Colorado or Vegas or Nevada? Utah. Geez.
My mother was born in Mesquite, Bunkerville, Nevada.
Wow.
My father was born in the hills of Oklahoma, and his family used to run Shine in the hills way back in the day. Of course, way back before he was able to drive. It was way back then.
Now, when you came to Korea on your Mormon holy mission, was that your first trip outside of the United States?
Yes, yes it was. Yeah. My first passport, yeah.
And did you just decide to stay right then? And what was the...
No. I was miserable.
Because how did you... I mean, because I'm trying to make this jump of how you got coming over here on a religious mission to being like kind of a Korean television celebrity. As a white guy from friggin' Las Vegas, Nevada, living in Seoul, Korea. I mean, it's a fascinating story, and that's why I wanted to have you... you on. So what was that transformative moment? You're over here, you're kissing some Korean guy, and you're like, hey,
no,
I'm leaving the church.
Way before that, after I got back to Korea, for years I have been, my English sucks. I almost said fondling the idea. I've been playing with the idea. I guess
I like the same that. Thing. Is that how Koreans, in Korean, that's what
oh,
it says?
That's funny. No, that's just how my fucked up brain goes. I've been playing with the idea for years of coming back to Korea. And I was engaged to be married. My then fiance, we were going to go to Amsterdam and get married because apparently it was legal then. But he slept with a friend of mine.
Mm.
And that friend of mine was HIV positive.
Oh.
And not to mention, he slept with a friend of mine. That's fucked up. I could never do that. Now, fidelity is number one in my head whenever I'm with somebody. Nobody else exists when I am with somebody. When I fall in love, and I've fallen in love many a time, and I'm still in love with every last one of them, even the guy that cheated on me. But when he cheated on me, I went through some shit. And frankly, I did not want to be on Earth anymore.
I can understand.
That's all I want to say about that.
Well, you're a very romantic guy. You're also a very loyal friend. I could see you, you live every moment very, with your heart. So I've had train wreck heartbreak stories that took fucking years to recover from. So, what was your first great love story? Was that it?
Oh, John Green.
John Green. It's a movie already.
Oh my goodness. His name is actually John Gonzalez, but he always went by John Green. And oh my God, should I mention these names? I was just in love with him, but I knew that that could never be. So I wanted to be friends with him and to always be friends with him. But I moved to Korea, and every time I went back, I got a hold of him, and we did hang out and stuff as friends, because he's just a wonderful person. And I only fall in love with wonderful people, except for the one that cheated on me, but he's still a wonderful person. Damn it!
What is the greatest risk you've ever taken for love? Was it moving to Korea?
No. Like I said, I was never interested in Asians. As a matter of fact, when I moved to Korea, before I moved to Korea, I was getting a lot of action, if I may say so. But I moved to Korea, and I went. There have been years between any chicka pow pow.
When did your career in entertainment start? Were you an entertainer before you left Las Vegas and came to Korea?
I wanted to be. I've always wanted
to
be.
So you started your entertainment career in Korea?
Well, that has everything to do with allowing myself to be... Okay, I don't give a shit how this sounds. Allowing myself to be fabulous. And when I say that, I have to quote a quote that I heard someone quote. When they said, that's how I talk. Welcome to the state of Nevada. When you allow yourself to be great, you simultaneously, I'm paraphrasing, you simultaneously allow others around you to be great. I have spent so many years feeling like I've been suppressed and pushed down, and a lot of times it was just me, so years like that. And when I moved to Korea, I realized that I've come in touch with my creative side, and back home I wanted to be an entertainer, but I didn't know how. I wanted to do a lot of things, but I didn't know how. And here I have been able to explore all those different creative thoughts I've had through the years.
So Korea allowed you to be fabulous.
My state of mind and it just happened to be here in Korea. But yes, Korea had a lot to do with it because, I don't know, it just seems like America, God bless you. It doesn't mean damn everybody else. God bless you, America. It just seems like now that I've left America, I feel a lot more free.
It was easier to be gay and fabulous, be yourself in Korea than the United States. I mean, you look at like now, I mean, we still, they're fighting for gay marriage. I mean, it's really, I think in the future, we should recognize the gay patriots that have done so much for the United States, like moving into bad neighborhoods and turning them into good neighborhoods and just all the contribution that gay society
It's more than
done.
Just the decoration ideas.
There was a young comedian I worked with years ago, and he destroyed every night. I was working with this kid in Boise, Idaho, and he said, hey, man, you know, if you don't mind, as an older veteran, would you mind watching my act and giving me your opinion? And the guy just, I mean, he was hard to follow, brought the house down every night. But his whole act was gay bashing and doing like the really gay, you know, just total, the fairy stereotype of, of like the limp-wristed gay person. It was awful, but he destroyed. And afterwards, the guy's like,
I do that a lot.
He's like,
too.
Can you give me your opinion? I said, honestly, you want me to tell you what I think? Yeah. I go, well, I don't know what you heard about Jewish people running show business, but gay people run show business. If you ever want to succeed in show business, you need to get rid of that act because it's offensive on every possible level.
But he's not gay.
Do what?
He's not gay.
He was not gay.
He can't do that.
And ridiculing. Yeah. And like, it might be funny in rural America or something. I mean, actually, I like Boise. I wouldn't blame Boise. But the guy, I lived in Europe. I think Europe, the United States is 20 years behind gay culture.
Oh, my God, it is.
Gay marriage. It's like so, I mean, come on, everybody has a gay relative by now, certainly.
But you can't tell them that.
But it's been so long for the United States core to shift, to even recognize. I mean, you think it wasn't that long ago that you couldn't have interracial marriages. That was like the late 60s for that to turn around. You know, so I find it really fascinating that, you know, you feel, you know, freer to be yourself in Korea, which to me seems very, you know, work ethic, kind of conservative.
They did teach me, Koreans did teach me a lot. And oh my God, I'm getting emotional. No, it pisses me off. Okay, let me get that out of the way first. Koreans taught me a lot about work ethic. Okay, I got that out of the way. I keep hearing all the, I lived all my life being a patriot. I collected American flags. My bedroom was red, white, and fucking blue. I had to leave the country to realize that I'd been lied to. Holy fuck. See what you started?
Let it out, Nevada.
I've been lied to all my fucking life. I came here, and this is a point of embarrassment, of deep, deep embarrassment. I came here, and I had an argument with a Korean guy. Me, fresh out of America, my point of the argument, I feel so fucking stupid when I say this, was if it's on American news, we were talking about CNN.
Oh, that
I said,
is
if
true.
If it's on American news, it's a matter of course that it's true. I cannot believe how fucking ignorant, thoroughly ignorant I was, and that I was kept thoroughly ignorant. American news, you could trust, I'm going to get fired from the TV show, you can the acting in the TV show that I'm on is better, is more reliable than American news. And I'm telling you, the TV show that I'm on, the acting is terrible, except for myself, I'm a really good actor. Oh my God, you brought tears to my eyes.
You know, but I mean, we're taught mythology in the United States. We're not really taught history. I remember, like, you know, like my history books.
Well, outside of church,
only go up to like
there's even more mythology.
Us winning World War II. You know, it starts off with the British Revolution and it ends with us winning World War II. That was my history book. You know, I never mentioned Vietnam and Korea and all this other shit.
The lies that I was taught.
And, you know, I mean, like, who could ever imagine that you would, that, like, the evening news would not be the truth in the United States? So I can understand your brainwashing up to a certain point. You know, you get out in life and read subversive literature, talk to people with opinions. I mean.
You know, when 9/11 hit, I actually believe everything that that CNN and it's a bunch of fucking lies. Anyway, I oh shit.
Are you gonna cry?
No, I'm just pissed now. I'm just pissed now. I can't stand being made a fool of, and all my life I was a fucking fool, and I had to leave the country. Yes, it's a wonderful country, and I miss the Mexican food and the inexpensive avocado and guacamole. Hey, I do. And the margarita mix. God bless margarita mix and cheap tequila.
You could probably order that online, and the drone would deliver it in an hour and a half.
That would be cool, yes. Oh, the delivery here in Korea is wonderful.
What do you love the most about Korea? I mean, how long have you lived here now?
I was only going to stay for 1 year. That was in 1996. This October 22nd will be 18 years.
How long have you had the greatest apartment in Korea?
That would be this one. What year is this? I think I moved here. I moved here in October of 2009.
Okay, you got.
My God, that's been that. Oh my goodness! Wow.
You got it 5 years. All right, now you got two ducks and a chicken living on the roof with all your plants.
They're not as friendly as tweets. My other ducks.
So tell me about how many years did it take you to learn Korean? And then because I've gone. The last time I was in Seoul, you know, you took me to dinner, you took me around the city, and you know, you were making people laugh everywhere. You know, waitresses and people on the street and stuff, and like. I mean, it's one thing to learn the language, but then how long did it take you to master the language and then be able to make people laugh in it?
Well, I this is amazing how this is all related. Being my fabulous faggoty self, okay, I had to, at an early age, learn to make people laugh so that I could not get beat up as much. Not get beat up would be wonderful. Not get beat up as much. And then that's just... and then people that are not my brothers, ba-dum-bum. yeah, that's a whole other deal. Except for my big, a couple of my, one of my big
Stay
brothers.
Stay focused,
wonderful.
Nevada.
Okay, yeah, I get.
So
I
making
get,
people laugh in Korea.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, see the shiny objects.
So you've always
everywhere.
Been funny. I mean, that's a given.
I try.
I think that goes without stating.
I came here to learn the language, and I was only going to stay for 1 year. And so within that 1 year, or by that 1 year, when that 1 year time had passed, I was comfortable in the language. And part of the fun of learning another languages, me English you good, learning another language is actually having fun with it. And I did a lot of that. I purposely would make mistakes and then had fun with mistakes that I didn't make on purpose. And I would try to make jokes in Korean. Most of them, still to this day, are pretty sallang. How do you say sallang in English?
Sallang?
Yeah. We'll just say not funny.
Not funny.
Yeah, I have no idea how to say that in English.
What is the statement you're...
Sallang is like cold or empty or freeze. Yeah, just not funny.
No response.
yeah, that's right. When you like right now when I'm trying to be funny. Okay, that wasn't sallang. As people gave charity laughs.
What do you think Korean people laugh at? Like, what's their sense of humor like?
Their sense of humor, I'm still trying to understand it. But I feed off of the fact that I am a blonde, round-eyed foreigner that is trying to be funny in Korean, and a lot of them really like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people's eyes light up at you on the street, and you're talking to people. I mean, you're like, you're tall and blonde, and you look like the last guy in the world that would speak fluent Korean.
Yeah, just
and when, you just, I mean, that alone seems to like just blow people's minds.
When I was waiting for you, a couple of people stopped me, and
they knew you from the television.
They recognized me from the TV show, and it's my natural response to speak Korean to Koreans, and when I did that, they literally took a step back and their eyes widened, and I didn't do that on purpose, but that doesn't stop me from enjoying that response.
So the show you're on is called Surprise?
Yes, it's called 신비한 TV 서프라이즈. It's, how do you say
what's the translation?
Shinbi.
Yeah, mysterious.
Mysterious, strange. Strange, mm-hmm. That's a better word. Yes. Strange TV surprise. Yeah, it doesn't translate in English.
Strange TV surprise.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense in English. It makes sense in Korean.
And this show's been on for years in Korea. And so what's your
a little over 10 years.
And so what, it's acting scenarios with foreigners?
It's I call it history mysteries. It's strange, odd, or just really weird things that have happened in history. It could be just a couple of years ago. It could be I played a priest back in the 1600s, and I was tortured. I really liked the outfit. I love playing dress up. What can I say? It's something I really like about
the
show.
Were you the priest or the one being
tortured? I was the priest being tortured.
Oh.
Yeah, because the queen...
well, there's a fetish.
Yeah, the queen... Hey! The queen... Bleep! The queen confessed to me something that the king wanted me to tell him. Did I say that right? Okay, and I refused to tell him because what is said in the confessional, as I'm being tortured, is between her and God. That's one of the lines as he was torturing me. And the torturing was actually torturing because it did draw blood a couple of times, which...
This show sounds like a bummer.
Oh, I loved doing it. I really...
What are their history scenarios? They got like a bunch of people on a Malaysian plane,
I played,
and it disappears.
That they actually did do something like that, but it hasn't aired yet because they filmed it, and then that happened.
Oh.
And so it hasn't aired yet. Spoiler alert.
I think they're going to find that plane one day, and I think it's all going to be it's a big publicity stunt, so they'll bring back the TV show Lost.
They'll
say we found the plane and we filmed 3 seasons.
Damn.
Of them living on an island.
Jeez. Well, back to me.
Exactly. I'm trying open mic night jokes over here.
What were we talking
about? So your television career, so is that all they do little history things? That doesn't sound like a surprise show.
Well, the surprise is the little spins they put on it and the type of stories they choose. They show this is what happened, and, well, that's odd, and then they show the story behind it. Something strange that happened in history, and then what happened behind it. I played Herbert Hoover, or no, I'm sorry, J. Edgar Hoover. I played some other CIA guy. I played Vice President. I played... oh my God, just recently, and I was really nervous about this. I played Britain's number one perv. Terribly sorry to any of his relatives that might be listening to this. Jimmy Savile.
Jimmy Savile, yeah.
Yes, I played him. Loved the outfits. I loved the wig. I had so much fun doing it. But
so you're like fondling little girls and smoking a cigar?
See, the director, there were so many takes because the director said, no, Nevada, you're an overjengi. How do you say it? Obojengi. You overdo everything. You're really good at overacting and stuff like that. You can do the Jim Carrey type style thing. And he said, go beyond what you're doing. And so I was like, oh, fuck, what do I do? And so I'm thinking, I told him, I said, okay, just a sec, let me get a second. And then I was thinking of Hannibal Lecter and a really hungry guy at a buffet. And that's what was going through my head when I was playing him at a hospital bed. That's just fucked up. At a hospital bed, molesting this young girl.
Mm.
Yeah. And so at one point they said to stroke her face, and so I stroked her face, and I was creeping myself out. And at one point, because at one of the later takes, he said, Nevada, just go overboard, just do it.
Hmm.
And so I stroked her face, and I did a Hannibal Lecter laugh, and then I grabbed her hair, and I went, oh, like that.
This is the weirdest television show ever. Out.
That's one of the high points or low points of the weirdness.
So you're gonna do like Dominique Strauss-Kahn next?
I do not know who this is.
You'll be humping some maid.
I do not know who this is. No, I.
He was that French guy from the IMF, the Intertech.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
The maid, cute, really rich guy.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but luckily enough, and I love it when this happens, when you act, and when I act and the people around me respond. As an actor, that makes me feel good, no matter what the response is, to a certain degree. Now, when I did that, again, it took a few takes because I don't know how to be that pervy. I have a pervy sense of humor, but actually being that, it took a few takes. But after I did that, the staff, they go, oh my God, Nevada, in Korean. They're like, oh, chingro, that was just disgusting. And I'm like, yeah, I freaked myself out. But other types, you know, when I played a British politician way back in the old days when the UK were sending the poor and the orphans and prisoners to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
He said, be really cheesy. And I said, and so I think one of my lines was something like, oh, how about we send the orphans? They don't have parents to deal with. That was really fun. I was working with another really good actor.
And this is what you're
actor.
Doing on Korean television.
This is what I'm doing
and people
on Korean
are stopping
television.
You on the street like you're Elvis Presley. They're like, oh my God, there's a...
Hopefully they realize it's just acting.
Keep the girls away from me.
Yeah, keep the girls away from me. Please.
So now, didn't you tell me you first did a bunch of game shows on Korean television?
Oh, I did a few game shows. No, but at first, when I started doing TV and acting in Korea, it was just a hobby. And it got to a point where I would only do it if I could go with a friend. And the friend would be in the TV show as well. And strangely enough, there was a lot of that. I was in the movie, in English it's called The Brotherhood. In Korean it's called Taeguki Hinalimyo. And 59 minutes into the movie, you see my hot, sexy blonde hair. And and then right after that, my face. But there were all sorts of scenarios where... but that was just a hobby. I was in all these different TV shows. I was doing a few per week. And now that I actually want to do it as a living, I'm doing once a week.
But you're making your living acting on Korean television.
Well, I'm making partial a living. I'm on the lowest paying TV show in Korea. But
and you still do live performances? You still do stand-up comedy? And
I really wish I could get back into that, but my schedule just doesn't allow for it. and then have sufficient sleep. Because acting, it takes a lot of energy. It's an all-day Thursday thing, this show. Mm-hmm. It's an all-day Thursday thing. And then I'm just wrecked on Friday, no matter how hard I try. I'm just drained on Friday.
What do you think the rest of the world should know about Korea?
The rest of the world should know about Korea is it's not from the TV show MASH. It is a wonderful, beautiful place. And I really enjoy it, except for the winter.
I think it's exactly like Korean television. When you watch Korean television, there's like always girl groups and big, brightly lit television shows.
That's the TV. It's not the real life. It's so far from the real life.
People constantly dancing and singing everywhere.
Of course.
They're doing the Gangnam style
enough
dance.
Enough about me. I sing a lot and stuff. So if you're saying that I am Korea, then yes. But no,
I'm joking. What should people know about Korea?
It's a wonderful place. The people are great. I have discovered so much freedom here, freedom to be and freedom to learn, being here in Korea. For years, that's what I was going to talk about earlier. When I'd invite people over, they'd say, "What do you like about Korea? Why do you think Korea is so wonderful? Why do you want to stay there?" And for years, I really couldn't put a finger on it. But I feel more free. I feel like I can actually be me here, which is an odd thing to say because for the most part, to the Korean people, I'm really not out. Back home, I was out. But being me and my creative side, being gay, I mean, who I sleep with, or for years, who I don't sleep with, is a small part of anybody, their sexuality, but everybody focuses on it. I feel more creatively free. And again, I'm sure I could do that in America as well, but I learned it all here. I expressed it, I'm expressing it here, and I feel it here. So I'm here.
When have you felt the most fabulous here?
Oh, doing stand-up comedy. Thank you for reminding me.
What are some odd, interesting things about Korean people? Like, I find that, you know, on one side of me, I feel kind of sympathetic towards Korean people. Like, I think they're too hard on themselves and that they work too hard.
Yes.
They don't relax more.
Yeah,
they put so much pressure on themselves to be successful and achieve. And then the other part of me thinks these people have it all figured out. That there's nothing wrong with working your ass off to have nice things. So I mean,
a balance. There is a balance, and there must be a balance. And I'm constantly I'm on an entertainment visa here. I teach children musical. I teach them how to, anyway. And while I'm doing that, all my kids,
kids musicals.
I'm teaching kids musicals. Yes, and I have said it so many times, and I'm not going to ever stop saying it. They do study a lot. They study too much. Too much, in my opinion, is expected from them. A high suicide rate might be a fucking hint, people. And I'm always telling them, take time to just relax and go and play and have some fun. And a lot of times I do that in class, all having to do with the lesson, making sure that it all ties into the lesson, because I have to make the bosses happy too. That's I guess, if I may, you know, toot my own horn. Then I'd be down in my bedroom tooting my own horn. But anyway, wouldn't that be wonderful? I've wonderful videos I've downloaded for that. Anyway, I got distracted again. I think that the I forgot what I was talking
about. I remember the last time I was here, you told me that you thought Korean mothers, like, drove their children too hard.
Oh, my God, Korean mothers are just, they're just wrong. They do it with love, but they seem to not be doing it with intelligence. They want their children, which is wonderful, they want their children to have wonderful lives.
They want them to be productive little robots.
What we call the American dream. I wouldn't call it the robot thing, but a lot of times, yes, I can see that. What we call the American dream. It's the same frickin' dream for Koreans as well. Parents want their children to have a better life than they themselves. And a lot of people just don't realize that in order for that to really happen, for their children to be happier, they have to stop every once in a while and focus on what makes them happy. And studying math, which frankly they're really good at, not a racial joke, it's a fact. I'm not good at math. I'm always asking these little kids, including kindergartners, can you help me with this? Because I don't, and it happens. But they really need to let their children just stop every once in a while. Stop all that other shit and just have some fun. Whatever that individual child thinks is fun. Let them do that.
What musicals are you teaching the kids? Grease?
Let It Go.
All that jazz?
Let It Go.
Every day?
It's Frozen.
One singular sensation?
Oh, I would love to do. I would love to. I worked for this guy before.
You got your fishnets on doing the high kicks?
I can do a high kick too. I've worked with, I've gotten this same entertainment visa with this guy before, but I wasn't teaching musicals through him, which frankly makes no sense. I'm really good at it, but now he has me teaching the musicals. I'm teaching Frozen in a couple of different places.
The musical Frozen.
Frozen.
That's already the on the curriculum.
The movie. Yes.
It just
yes.
won best
I
animated
have
film in February.
No idea if it's licensed.
It's on the.
It is Korea. But it's Frozen, and there's another one that's I'm brain cramping right now. The name of the other one, but it's Italian. But everything's in English. And then there was Nolbu and Hungbu, Hungbu and Nolbu, and they are playing now in Saudi Arabia.
What's Nordu and Hubu?
It's, how do you say that in English? The player, not, it's the player, the guy that works really hard. It's a traditional, Korean traditional play. The guy that works really hard, the hard worker, and the guy that just wants to play. Is there an easier way to say that in English?
No.
That's right, yeah.
Just brother.
What's your favorite musical of all time?
Oh my gosh! It's oh my gosh! I'm a toss up between Grease and Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah, I really like Grease. I still smile every time I hear one of their songs.
You're the one that I want.
Yep.
Hoo hoo hoo.
Yep.
You'll be happy to know I did the New Zealand Comedy Festival last year, and it was 2 weeks in Auckland, and then I did a Best of the Fest tour where I went all over. And there's a city on the North Island called Hamilton that I went to, and everybody makes fun of Hamilton for being a shithole, but Hamilton is kind of a cool city. And that's where, what's his name? Riff Raff is from.
Oh, cool.
In Rocky Horror Picture Show. And he wrote that song. It's just let's do the time warp again.
Yeah.
So on this street, there's a park where people go and do drugs. And I think there might be illicit gay hookups in that park. But his statue as Riff Raff in his spacesuit is at the entrance of that park.
Oh, my God.
And then there's a little diagram of how to do the time warp. it's just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
I was very proud of Hamilton, New Zealand, for recognizing a gay patriot.
Cool, cool. He's gay.
Was he?
I don't know.
It must have been.
I don't know.
I don't know. How can you write a fabulous song like that?
Got a point. You got a point.
So,
What's up with straight people not being creative? Oh, my God.
Well, in the time we have left, what can you delight me with your knowledge nuggets about Korea?
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. All of a sudden.
What?
Mula.
You're obviously going to live the rest of your life here. What are your intentions with these kind people?
Okay. I'll tell you. There are a few intentions. Now, yes, I am working very hard at becoming famous here in Korea, but that is far from the actual goal. My garden is, frankly, an experiment. I would like to, and pretty soon, I think, you know, tomorrow, somebody is coming to the party, the barbecue party here, from Groove Magazine, and he's going to interview me about the garden. And there Groove Magazine. Oh, okay. Sorry, I talked too fast. I'm excited. And we've got to be at your show pretty soon. The goal with gardening this way, upside down and vertical, where you can get a lot of plants in a small area, is here in Korea, as in every major city around the world, there are low-income areas and really poor areas. And I noticed here in Korea, in the alleys, they will throw out pots and grow things, and they have very little space, so they can only grow very little. With this, I would love to start a campaign where we can beautify, not only beautify these alleys, but
and rooftops
and rooftops
make them into
and all sorts of places,
productive little food machines.
Food everywhere, that's just one of the thingies. There's so much I want to do there. I used to volunteer at an orphanage, but frankly, I stopped from selfish purposes. It broke my heart that I could do nothing, and I have not the means to do anything. And so, I'm really working hard on becoming famous and getting paid for it, so that I can help other people to aim toward making stuff happen and help to make stuff happen in these different areas. And I'm not really good at speaking English right now.
We'll speak Korean.
잘못 사는 데에서 이렇게 식물 키우면 먹을 수 있는 거 엄청 많이 있을 걸요.
What's some basic Korean you could teach me?
Okay. Well, let's start with a fun little thing that I like to do, and to people who are being assholes, and I'll teach them to speak. But you're not being an asshole right
okay,
now.
But
so,
tell me.
But it's
tell
still
me.
Really fun on a personal level. It's really fun to do. You teach them this phrase, and whatever they say they want to learn, this is what I tell them. You say, na, repeat after me.
Na.
Babo.
Babo.
Da.
Da.
Na babo da.
Na babo da.
Yeah, it means I'm an idiot.
Oh, great.
Sorry.
I'm going to use that all the time. I can't wait get on the elevator back at the Renaissance.
Hey, point
na
at the...
babu da. I'm just gonna say that over and over, wherever we go.
No,
na babu
don't,
da.
Don't.
I'm an idiot.
No, it's what you do in a bar when somebody's being a jerk to a Korean waiter or waitress, and you say, no, that's not how you ask for what you're asking for. Just say, na babu da.
What it means? That means you're being an idiot?
No, it means I'm an idiot.
Why would I say I'm an idiot if someone else is being rude?
No. Okay. Let's back up. And I'm the blonde here, for fuck's sake. Okay. If you're being an ass to a waiter or waitress.
Yeah.
And you're saying, give me some of that oil over there. And then I say, no, this is how you ask. You're in Korea. Speak Korean. I say, this is how you ask for the oil. And then I teach them to say, na paboda.
Oh, I see. You teach the rude person.
The rude person to say, I'm an idiot.
And then they say that to the person.
And then because by then the waiter or waitress already realized this guy, number one, this guy's a jerk and he wants whatever this oil or whatever it is. And so the waiter or waitress will just laugh and go get them the oil. And I say, see?
That's great.
And it's amazing how many times that's actually worked.
I think I'm going to, that'll be my opening line tonight. I think I'm going to come out and say, Na Pabuda. Oh, and then everything will be.
That'll get them going.
Westerners
all know that too.
My wife said to me in December over, so she goes.
And she's wonderful.
She goes,
she's
don't so be cool. stupid. And I said, I'm a comedian. Stupid is my life.
Exactly.
Na Pabuda.
No offense.
I'm an idiot. any other memorable Korean phrases?
Oh, she's 갑자기 어떻게 무슨 말일까?
No.
Oh, 몰라, 몰라. Oh, yes, yes. This is something that I hinted on a second ago, and now I will share it again. 한국에 있으면 한국말 해야지. 그죠? 한국에 있으면 한국말 해야지. When you're in Korea, speak Korean.
That's what you just said.
Yes.
Well, that's...
I say that all the time.
That's one way to stir up their national fever. What advice would you give a fabulous person that wanted... foreigner that wanted to live in Korea? What advice could you give someone?
Come here and don't be an ass. Because you're not in America anymore. People are always saying, well, back in America. You're not there anymore. You're here. Learn how to do things here.
And what knowledge?
And if you don't like this, if you don't like the way I drive, stay off the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
Actually, works here.
And people do drive on the sidewalk here.
Yes.
What knowledge nugget have you gained as a foreigner living in Korea?
Okay, this is going to be another hour. No, I've learned a lot. I know, no, but you just hit me with all this. I'm surrounded with things that I've learned.
Let's have it.
I've learned to express myself, and yet I'm still having challenges with that. I've learned to speak another language, and that, in my understanding and my knowledge of living in America, is a rarity for Americans. I've learned how to garden, and I'm still learning how to garden. Oh, that just reminds me of the joke, not the gardening thing. But I love this joke. I love jokes that are really funny because they're true. And maybe it's not really funny. But anyway, what do you call a person that speaks three languages?
Trilingual.
Trilingual, yes, yes. And a person that speaks two languages?
Bilingual.
Yes, and a person that speaks one language? Fucking American. My sister told me that joke when she came home from France years and years ago, and at first I was like, well, that's rude, and then I realized, well, that's funny because it's true.
The rudest American joke I ever heard, there was a Scottish comedian at the Melbourne Comedy Festival when I was doing it years ago, and he did a joke. What do you get when you cross a monkey with an American? Nothing. A monkey's too smart to fuck an American.
Oh my god.
That's.
But a lot of Americans aren't smart enough to not fuck a monkey. Hey, I've been to the South.
Okay. Hey. Hey, I'm from the South, babe. I'm from the South. So,
I've never fucked a monkey.
Thank you for having me on your Hanging Gardens of Fabulon.
Thank you for being here.
I absolutely loved you when we met. We stayed in touch. You know,
cool.
I'm proud that we have the same last name. I might take your family tradition and name my kids wherever.
I like the Soul Roads.
Soul Roads is a good one.
I really do like that.
In closing, is there any words of wisdom or advice that you'd like to give to the people of the earth?
Let loose. Have some fun. I aside from that, and if you let loose and have some fun, then you can I'm having a hard time speaking English right now. You can really discover yourself. Yeah, and allow yourself to be fabulous. That's it. Allow yourself to be fabulous.
Allow yourself.
There you go.
And what is the secret to being fabulous?
Well, everybody's fabulous, but people don't allow themselves to be fabulous. And when I talk about, I said this before, when I talk about myself being fabulous, I say that in the spirit of when you allow yourself to be fabulous, you are simultaneously allowing other people around you to be fabulous, to realize that they can as well and are fabulous. So, I'm fabulous. Allow yourself.
I am basking in your fabulousness.
Fabulosity is the
fabulosity. Well, I have no other choice but to go out and be fabulous tonight.
Cool.
Nevada Rhodes, I love you to death.
I love me too. We've got so much in common.
We really do. All right, brother. Long may you run, Nevada.
Thank you.